to thank you for joining us for tonight. Comic book love.
I'm Pete, and that's our man in the booth, Booth Man.
Actually, speaking of Booth Man, bye, Pete. I'll see you later. Speaking of Booth Man, tomorrow is a special day for you, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess my question is, how old are you today?
Just a little bit. How old am I now?
Yeah.
22.
And how old are you tomorrow?
23.
Oh. That must mean he's going in a time machine. Bring lights down.
Oh, I gotta do my job.
Yeah, could you do your job? Do your job.
And come happy on. Birthday to you.
Come on to the booth.
From Subway.
Yeah, that's the best!
I love this. We're teaching at Fridays.
Oh, big events in the room
tonight. Two of our frequent audience members, Jordan and Devin, have their 8-year anniversary.
I'm gonna go get their anniversary.
Sorry. I think having an anniversary at our show is present enough. You guys would really just sign the list and put your birthday, anniversary, other holidays,
special occasions they want to celebrate.
Especially on a Tuesday. It's a great way to spend it.
Yeah, very romantic place to take a date.
Clowns and jugglers, if you tell us, known in advance.
We can set up a castle bounce.
Bounce castle.
Cool, let's get into the show, guys. Yeah. We have a great guest for you this evening. We're very excited to have him back here. Ladies and gentlemen, Neil Klein! Yeah. All right. Neil, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Friends. Sorry about all this events.
Yeah. Anything?
What happened to the cookies?
Yeah. So let's talk about what's going on with you. You have a series starting with Dark Horse tomorrow, right?
Well, it's not a series. It's I've got a short story in their new creepy anthology.
All right.
Resurrecting the classic horror anthology that Warren put out 70s, 60s back then. I actually kind of got into it recently when I was researching it to do the new series, but I did an 8-page story, and it's about a fat camp, and I kind of had to research it myself. My growing mid-70s has kind of helped me with it a little bit, but it's a fun little story.
You
scary.
Went to fat camp or
something? No, I just ate a lot.
So just the first part.
To get into the state of the movie. But then it's nice. What's nice about Creepy or Tales from the Crypt or any of those stories is that it's all about the twist ending. So what was fun was sort of starting as a really innocent place and then letting the story kind of take you to the...
And then it turns out it didn't count.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Great twist.
Now you don't have to buy one. Thanks,
Alex. No problem.
And tell us about the other thing that you're watching at San Diego Comic Con.
This is actually proof of my new graphic novel called The Big Con. It's debuting at San Diego, and then we'll be released to stores the week after. And it's about Rabbi David Kahn, who at his funeral is discovered that he's basically never been Jewish. He's been conning his congregation and family for 40 years, and they find out at the funeral because his group of brothers sort of comes in and tells tells them, and it's about how the family deals with the aftermath of everything that they've known is wrong, everything that they believed in is wrong, and it's got like a nice 6 feet under vibe, and it's coming out from NBM Publishing, drawn by Nicholas Chibnard.
If I had this right, the movie The Big Lebowski was based on this?
Yes.
Reverse?
Yeah, there's a lot of bowling. And,
tell us a little bit about the inspiration for the book.
Actually, it 6 Feet Under was sort of the big inspiration. I was, you know, very into the show and realized that a lot of the you know, you've got this family that's sort of set in a quirky family set in a funeral home, dealing with like the ins and outs of, you know, being a mortician. And I kind of got the idea that the same sort of thing would apply to the rabbinate, to a synagogue, and sort of let myself run with that. But I was also watching, getting into a lot of con stories at the time. I had just read Matchstick Men, which is an excellent book. It's about two con men, one who's OCD, and how the guy who's OCD basically, well, I'm not going to give the book away, but it's about how their sort of relationship kind of breaks down a little bit.
At the end, they're a thin cat.
Yes.
A lot harder twist on that.
And lots.
There's a movie based on Nicolas Cage.
Right? Yes. Nicolas Cage and
Billy Bob Thornton.
That is
no, Sam
an obscure way of cutting it. Keep going.
That's and that,
one
that,
person that was it's a twist. It's a twist.
I've just been reading a lot about like con men and con artists, and kind of wanted to tie it to. At the time, I was also sort of I had just moved from Michigan. And I grew up in a fairly strict religious environment and was sort of kind of learning who I wanted to be and learning what kind of Jew I wanted to be. So a lot of those thoughts and ideas are sort of in the book, you know, just me questioning a lot about my faith and religion, which is what the family sort of goes through.
Yeah. Now, since you say that you use 6 Feet Under as the inspiration, is the idea that ideally you would like it to be turned into a TV series? Or would...
We're talking to some feature folk, but you know, I really wanted it to just be a comic.
Good. So if anybody from TV comes calling, just say no.
No,
I wanted it to be a
comic.
Comic,
and we're done.
Yeah.
We're done.
Good. What else is coming up for you?
That's it for the moment. I've got some stuff in the work over the years. I've actually got a big project I'm starting work on in August that will take up most of my year. That will be announced hopefully sometime like the New York Comic Con around there. I've got some anthology stuff. I do an online comic called Action Ohio at we're about to hit page 50 on that, which is kind of nice. And it's fun. It's a superhero story. The concept is, what if the Silver Age of comics was created as a way to hide the fact that there are superheroes living in Ohio?
Wow.
And it's a fun little story. We kind of poke fun at a lot of the older Silver Age characters, both on the Marvel and DC side, but it's also kind of a look at what the world was, you know, back in the 50s all the way up to. And it's also a crime story.
Cool.
Check it out.
And you're heading out for San Diego Comic Con next week?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Gonna do the show.
Excited, yeah. We would always see you when we go.
Yes,
yeah.
I actually ran into you guys on the way to a pitch meeting last year.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
You guys screwed it up one time.
How did we do that? We also ran into you later, and we were all real drunk.
Well,
so it couldn't have gone that bad.
What was the picture of Pete? Pete with Kyle Baker and...
Yeah, it was Pete with Kyle Baker and a random woman. Pete had a joint coming out of his mouth.
What are you talking about?
I don't think you need to explain it anymore.
Yeah,
just leave it where it
is. There was a couple of...
Are we pointing out, like, crazy things happening? Like, how about you going up to Stan Lee being like, you're the king of San Diego!
First off, it was Jim Lee.
Yeah.
Very different.
Very different.
And it was at his party with a bunch of weird women.
Wait, was it just women and you think women are weird, or is it...
Well, that's true, but also the women were weird, too, because they were just, like, models. And what comic book creators have models around them?
Don't look at me.
Yeah. And I grabbed him on the shoulder and said, King of San Diego.
I'm sure it was that clear at 4 in the morning.
Well, who can say?
Let's go on to the next session, which we'd like to call the Stack! Today we're going to talk about Green Lantern number 43, which is the prelude to Blackest Night.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you, guys. What did you guys think about this issue?
I would say skip it and wait for Blackest Night.
Why? This is the background of the man.
Yeah, but creepy kid.
You like this. This is creepy. He dies later?
He kills himself after he kills his whole family.
It's like right in your, that's in your wheelhouse. What's more in your wheelhouse?
What are you talking about? I don't want to kill my family.
What do you mean?
No, like, in your wheelhouse. You want to kill them in your wheelhouse.
What?
You love the house where he keeps his wheels.
Oh. What?
Oh.
Anyway, for those of you who haven't been reading this, don't know what's going on. There's a war of the lights coming between the green light and the orange light and a bunch of other lights. This is introducing
the careful what lights you turn on.
This is the first Black Lantern who uses the black light, which can see many things. Basically giving his origin, why he is the big villain and the impetus behind this event, Blackest Night. It's a creepy story. It's really well done, and more than anything, Doug Menke's art is incredible in here.
The art is good.
Fits the tone of strength.
Otherwise, don't.
I don't know. Okay, we were talking about this the other day. I don't know why you have such a big problem with this. Your problem is, I don't want to know backstory about a villain. I just want him to kill things.
Well, he's a villain. That's enough. I don't need to know, like, oh, I sit in the dark, and I look around a lot. And then I do stuff. I do it real creepy. Watch the way I walk.
That's only like 3 pages. I love to know.
We did it, dude. You're creepy. I don't know, like.
But there's this. I thought actually just kind of like. You can kind of see where Blackest Night is sort of going to go. I thought this is probably going to. I mean, I'll predict now. Probably going to be the best written issue of the series.
This one?
I think so. Really? I think it really exploits a character who really was kind of a goofball. And really
goofball.
Yeah,
goofball.
Was kind of a nothing.
Before
he used to be a different. I mean, he was like a third-rate supervillain that now you sort of know a little bit more about, and they gave him a little bit more depth.
It reminded me of the way that James Robinson took the Shade. I mean,
absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
Huh? I brought it back.
Right.
This is very clear. Geoff Johns does this best, taking villains and give them a good reason to hate the hero rather than just like, I'm going to get you because I hate you. Here, he likes the darkness. He likes the depth of graves, and so he wants, all right.
Careful, you're fighting a mustache.
No, I like it.
The moment that I didn't understand, I mean, I understand why it's on there, but like, I don't think they needed to put Bruce Wayne on the tombstone.
Yeah.
I kind of feel
that
like,
annoyed me.
I kind of feel like they're just doing that because it's like, oh, Bruce Wayne, people
right.
are going to buy it. I think it would have sold without it.
I don't think it would have.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I have no reason.
That's arbitrary.
Yeah, would you say pick it up?
Definitely. Great. This is going to be landmark.
Screw that.
Pick it up.
Pete, you're ridiculous.
All right, let's move on. Talk about it.
Why?
Dark X-Men, the beginning, number one. Which is giving you a little background of the new Dark X-Men, who are like the X-Men, but they are dark.
So if you like dudes taking showers, you will love this comic. You get to see Norman Osborn take a shower, and then you're like, oh, this is
You get to see Namor take a shower with Norman Osborn.
Right.
What?
Oh,
that's different.
Do not do that!
Namor taking a shower, Norman is watching him take a shower.
Before he watched, he himself took a shower.
What?
Maybe.
Oh,
you were the same.
I'm sorry. You were reading Prelude to Dark X.
I see.
That's a lot of dark showering going on.
That's the next summer's event.
Longest gold.
Dark shower, so surprise as you want.
Oh, God. Then they'll bring Iron Man back and it'll be golden shower.
I like it. I think someone accidentally clapped and then it was
I just saw Iron Man.
Guys, what they're trying to do is turn out the lights.
Come on, this guy. Wow, this guy's good.
Doesn't take the night off, that guy.
Dark X-Men number one. Let's actually talk about the issue. Three short stories. What did you guys think about it?
Bad.
What? They were showering. What we just talked about. What are you talking about?
All right, fair point. I think the second story in here, the story about Mimic, I thought it was pretty good.
Nothing happened. Like it. Yeah, it was boring. It was just like, I've had a hard life. And they show panels of it's a hard life. I love the character, the Mimic. Have him do something. He complains the whole time. Pete, back me up on this. He's complaining.
He does. He does. It was almost like at the Prelude of Darkest Night.
Don't!
Don't stop. It was Prelude. Nothing happens.
naked, and Norman's like, Norman doesn't look down. I give him credit.
You're saying he wouldn't look?
Gotta look down.
Oh,
of course, the monkey's name.
He's old.
Yeah.
What?
Oh.
Yeah. What?
Back me up on this, guys.
And check the marble handle.
It's webbed.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Whoa! I bet he's got a big submariner. Try the
You're only gonna make it.
Is this thing on?
And the Dark Beast story is also stupid.
Yeah.
Cool. I thought it was okay.
Damn it!
I did read it, and other than the cool Namor Norman title thing, kind of forgot about half the story.
Yeah, it's a little. It is forgettable. I think it's not as necessary. The Manifest Destiny miniseries that they did, well, that was actually showing sort of what is going on the sides of the universe, rather than this is a direct, this is how these characters got to this point. So it's not as necessary.
I think one of the major issues also that I was having with it was that I've actually been reading the Utopia series and was really kind of getting into it, and I thought that this was going to be like sort of continuing the story, and picked it up as an anthology. Okay.
Yeah.
And it just kind of like pulled me away from it for a
minute. Yeah.
It felt
though I love anthologies.
Really
I love anthologies as well, and this was a real bad.
The only thing I don't like is horror anthologies.
I'm sorry.
All right, let's move on and talk about No Hero number 6. Pete, you're a big fan of the series, right?
Yeah, this
I wonder why Pete likes this.
Well, it's about. People who try to be superheroes, you gotta take this serum, and then you go crazy in a room, and if you survive that, you get to be a superhero. So it's a little interesting. But this one guy like pulls off all his skin, becomes really whacked out, and then starts killing the so-called heroes.
No, he starts killed.
I don't know. Can
he
they come back?
Tears his spine out and then wraps it around his waist like a giant dick.
Right.
Is this actually how this issue ends? He's like, now this is what a superhero looks like. And he's got a dude's spine around his waist. I couldn't believe it. Especially you, who doesn't like all that.
No, it's ridiculous. And my point was to talk about this comic is like, when is too much, you know, like pushing the envelope like too much?
Bloody spine dick.
Yeah, I would say. That's what
I was like, oh, let me just put those words back on the page.
I read that and I was like, I wish I didn't read this.
Honestly, you guys have never had any interest in.
No,
like,
I'm saying I'm
having
over
a bloody spine over here.
I'm
like,
over
what
bloody
that
spine.
Be like.
I went as bloody spine dick my senior year in high school, trick or treating. I don't need it anymore. It was hard. I didn't really explain that question. Even when I did, I didn't get much candy.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I was a senior in high school. What business did I have trick or treating?
This is Avatar's trade. Do things that are over the top.
No, because Gravel is a good example of a solid comic that's by Avatar, and it's not too.
Gravel, people are getting turned inside out into monsters.
Yeah, but there's no.
Every Avatar book, it's like, oh, let's see the inside of their bodies on the outside. That's like their whole big. Every issue.
We should pitch them a title called Inside Out Bad. He goes around fighting inside out crap.
I'd rather read your Thin Camp book than read this.
In Thin Cap, everybody is inside out.
Yeah, fuck me again.
Would you say pick this up?
No.
But if you're interested in more of my Halloween costumes, I'm running.
All right, let's talk about Wednesday Comics.
Yes!
Number one. For those of you who haven't heard about this is DC releasing a weekly comic with in the style of the old Sunday papers. With one story per page size, gigantic. What'd you guys think about this? Successful experiment, unsuccessful?
Gotta give DC credit for when the newspaper industry that is worse, to be like, that's where we want to be. Get in here, both feet! But actually, it's great. Like five or six of the stories I thought were really fantastic. It's hit or miss, but. Yeah.
What I really appreciate is the fact that the art is so large. Like a lot of times, you know, the artists draw the art and then get shrunk down, so you don't really get to.
Yeah, it's hard to read all the art.
But I mean, I appreciate it. I think it's a successful for what it is. I think it's pretty cool. Like you get, you know, one page of every story. Some of them are really interesting and get you on board, and others are like, meh. But that's what's nice. Each page is different. get a different chance.
Sorry, I'm just gonna take dark vision over your future right now.
Yeah. Well, also, I just like doing this with newspapers.
His future where he's like...
I gotta say, I wasn't crazy about this. I mean, kudos to DC for trying something different. It's a very nice-looking package. My problem is that aside from one or two of the strips, I don't really feel like they actually hit the format correctly. My problem is they feel like one page out of a comic book that just slapped in there rather than something that is like an old newspaper strip. I think the most successful one is The Flash, which breaks up the page into 2 6-page strips. The first one is about The Flash, shows you it's coming in the end of an adventure, but gives you more than enough information if you're a new reader to know who The Flash is, what's going on with the adventure, sets up new stuff. The bottom is about his girlfriend slash wife, I just don't know where they are in the continuity here, Iris West, and shows you the other side of what's going on there. And it's cool, and it's interesting, it makes you want to read more, but gives you enough information right there. The rest of them waste a lot of time giving you the origins of superheroes, which I felt like was totally unnecessary.
So that's for people that have never read.
But to have an entire page of origin, and then I need to remember what's going on with him a week from now, after I've read only one page out of however many pages these are.
You can reread them.
I don't think that's possible.
It's definitely possible. You're right about the Flash one being very specific to the format, but there are like the Paul Pope one is great. Adam Strange story is great. The Supergirl one's great. I thought even though it's not right in this newspaper format, there's still great stories. Sergeant Rock with the Cubert.
Yeah, there's some great teams on this.
I love the Sergeant Rock.
Yeah, it's so cool.
But the one issue that I have with it is, I mean, I love it. I think it's pretty comic. It's really a lot of fun to read. And one of the things that I've kind of heard a lot of people talk about is the fact that the writing doesn't kind of live up to the art. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that you can't really get like a ton of story into the one page.
It's one page.
I think the collection, you know, once you've got them all collected in one book, you'll kind of be better. But I think that it's
or awesome. If you just remember it and then read the next one.
But I think I think it also has to do with the fact that there's just it seems kind of like blasé. There's nothing about the writing that really kind of grips you into it. And I think the reason is because they picked the wrong day. I think they picked Wednesday. Wednesday is kind of like it's the middle of the week, you're already looking forward to the end of the week. There's no, like, pathos to Wednesday. I think, like, Monday comics would work. Monday, it's like, you'd have, like, comics about, like, the Justice League kind of walking, like, Monday again, you know, punching in.
Are you saying all the writers are writing for Wednesday?
Yeah, I think they need to be
writing for Monday.
I think it needs to be, like, Monday, like Solomon Grundy. Every script, he'd be born again. I think that would be perfect.
That's a good idea.
Or even better, Saturday Night Drunk at the Bar comics.
Here we go. Like that. We got
a little comic, you know. I kind of mock this up real quick. Like, you know, you're drunk, you're writing, you know, fucking Joker with the Batman or something like that. Or this one's Wonder Woman, you know, Wouldn't Shut Me Down or something like that. Or
it's got the same kind
I'm
of
not sure what this is. It's like an Hour Man strip, I think. But, you know.
Just, that would be
$3.99, right? Yeah, $3.99. They're right in the file. Should we quick review this?
Alfred, I find this Alfred Beer More Beer panel ingenious.
Yeah. The layouts are weird and the art seems a little sketchy.
Yeah.
I'm also not crazy about the napkin print.
Yeah. Yeah. What kind of stock is this?
When it's collected, though. When it's collected, it'll make.
Yeah, it'll be a great for a party to put your drink on. Saturday Night Drunk. That's great.
Eventually we could have one for every day of the week. Would you guys say pick this up?
Definitely pick it up just for the novelty of it.
Yeah. All right, let's move on and talk about Amazing Spider-Man Annual number 36 of 36. That's not correct. What do you guys think about this bringing back the Clone Saga from the 90s?
Well, first off, the issue spends two-thirds just dancing around the whole Clone Saga thing. And they have this villain who has a big bone that comes out of his arm. I'm sick of everyone that, like, find a place for stuff to come out of people. In the Wolverine
like
part.
I knew you were going to bring it back. I was like, please don't. Oh, you did.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We were talking about bones coming out of somewhere, and I should have avoided that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was like, it was really like being at a bad rehearsal dinner. It was just like, a lot of people you didn't care about sitting around the table, and you're like, fuck, I wish I wasn't here right now.
For those of you who haven't been reading it, Peter Parker's Aunt May is getting married to J. Jonah Jameson's father, And this is the rehearsal dinner in Boston, which is attacked by a dude with bones in his arms who thinks that Peter Parker killed his father in a fire.
His whole family.
His whole family. But it turns out it was Ben Reilly who was Peter Parker's clone.
And I love when they get the clone out, but it was obvious to the whole story. It's like, oh, sure. It's going to be the clone. It's going to be the clone. Going to be the clone. And now they're going to do a big clone thing in the regular title, which is great.
Yeah.
But this is definitely this.
I think it's a cool way to bring it back without actually resurrecting a dead character.
I thought it was weird. There was a lot of like Red Sox references in this book, which I thought was weird.
The Red Sox are from Boston.
Oh! sports!
It's written in the Boston.
Weird.
Accent.
Yes. Actually, I will say, my least favorite thing in here was a bunch of Boston people yelling at Spidey. They're like, go get him, Spidey. Go to Harvard Yard. Come on, Pocky Cannon. And they're all yelling like that the entire time.
Yeah.
Which is accurate, I guess.
If you've ever been to Boston, that everyone's yelling.
Yeah. Would you say pick it up?
Huh? No, you can miss this.
Yeah, you can miss it.
You won't miss it. Were you going to say something?
No.
Great. All right, this is what I'm talking about. Drafted 100 Days. We mentioned this a little while ago on the show. Drafted is one of our favorite series here. Alien invasion comes to Earth. Actually, aliens come to Earth, say, listen, there's an intergalactic war. Everybody on Earth, you are drafted into this war. This is dealing with the aftermath of the first part of the series, that war, and focusing on one character who was particularly affected by the war, Barack Obama.
That's who that was in the cover?
Yes.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, they should put
and
Barack
on
more covers.
And on the back.
Yes.
Bitter.
That's Barack the Barbarian. Barack, of course, during the first attack, had his throat slit, so he can't talk.
Whoops.
Yeah. So what do you guys think about this issue?
I thought it was a good story. I think it's weird that they insinuated this, that Barack's family was killed. Which I think is kind of fucked up.
Yeah. You see Michelle and the two kids, like, falling
and, like, turn into sand at one point. I'm like, I don't know.
Wow.
That's cool to be doing that.
If I'm Barack, I'm pissed about this coming.
Yeah, if I'm Barack, I'm reading this, I'm like, oh, man, why? Why me? Why poor me? Why poor Michelle?
This is good, which is very weird, but it's good because of Mark Powers, who does a good job of putting together the story and really making it work. I think there's some cheesy elements in here, but it could have been a disaster, and it's not.
Yeah, I was surprised how much I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a little like, Barack's the only one that like has faith that someone's going to come rescue them, and he's like, he cuts his wrist and all this.
Oh.
there's a tracking device in his wrist.
He's trying to kill
him. Cool. Somebody's coming for you now. All right, let's move on. Talk about Superman World of New Krypton, number 5. Superman is on trial on New Krypton. What do you guys think about this?
Well, this is ridiculous. This the story has Superman not being Superman. The whole issue, he's pretty much sitting in a jail cell that he could very easily break out of and just being like, oh, what, I'm on trial? Oh, I could almost die? Cool, just let me know what happens.
It's
like, hey, you want to fight for your life? Do you want to maybe do something? That guy just got shot. Too bad about that.
He's trying to prove a point.
Yeah?
A Gandhi-like point.
Mm-hmm. And by naming some comic Superman, then having a character who's supposed to be Superman just sitting there not doing anything Superman would do!
Maybe this comic is Gandhi World of New Krypton.
Alright, well then, I'm sorry, I misread it.
Go ahead.
I don't know what I was going
to
say.
I actually agree with Pete a little bit. This is, he's going to come out in the end. They do this whole thing where someone lets him out, opens his jail cell, and they're all watching from a video screen, and they're like, here he goes, he's going to escape.
He could have escaped with it locked!
Right, but he didn't. Look, at the end of the day, you know, because of the Superman title, they're not going to get to the point where he's like, all right, well, kill me. Okay, all right, I'm dead. All right, I'm in hell.
That's bad script.
Superman's going to hell, by the way. you know he's going to get out of this somehow, and the way he does is interesting. And interesting makes you want to see what's going to happen with the character.
Well, I like
or
the
is
interplay.
It interesting, or is it against completely against character?
Interesting.
well, volleyed. I think
this is a meeting of vibes.
Yeah, really great. Let's agree to disagree. I think this is nice watching Superman versus Zod kind of have this mental chess match.
Yeah, mental chess match. My ass. He watched him get shot.
Well,
that's what happens at the end of a mental chess match. Yeah. Have you ever been to the Washington Square Park? All right. Last but not least, we're going to talk about Rebels number 6. introducing a new version of Starro, the giant starfish who flies through space. This time, the giant starfish is actually on a guy with big muscles who has a big axe. It's totally awesome. What did you guys think about this?
I like this series a lot. It's got a bunch of weird characters and all this star. I like Starro. Nice to have a new spin on it, but I don't think anyone's reading this. Anybody?
No.
Yeah. This is a great series. I'm going to say this is great. It's really fun. The art's great. I really enjoy it. My big problem is I just cannot get into Starro because he is a giant starfish that flies through space.
Why? And that's not any more ridiculous than
but he spits out other tinier starfish. There's starfish on people's faces.
They take over your mind.
Yeah. But there's the starfish. If you had a starfish on your face, it'd be like... Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not a starfish.
Problem
it's
solved.
It's a space starfish.
Okay, now I like it.
Starfish.
See? Yeah, exactly. If it washed up on Earth, it's more extreme. It's just more extreme.
I think there's something kitschy to Starro. He's like the MODOK of the DC Universe.
I think MODOK is more ridiculous, but also more fun in a certain way. I guess my problem is also he has a big eye in the middle, and so it always just looks like...
I think you hate starfish.
Yeah.
I think you just hate the sea creature of starfish.
I just hope that you guys would be smart enough if I had a giant starfish in my face and was acting weird that you would maybe do something about it.
You're not acting more weird?
Yeah. If I was acting out of character and had a giant starfish on my face, I would hope you would put two and two together and be like, we have to get this starfish off
your
face.
You've had that weird fuzzy bear on your back.
But I've been acting normal.
You show up with all sorts of weird things. Plus, I rarely make eye contact. So I would notice.
Anyway, this series is great to pick it up. And that's it for the staff. Yeah. Time for our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions, and for that, we're going to bring out Booth Man.
Yeah! Perfect, Booth Man.
I don't know how this cooking.
How are those?
They got wax in them. I got some questions.
I'm making a little stack on your cooking. Hope everyone washed their hands.
Who is the most evil character in all of comics?
Most evil.
Well,
Barack Obama.
I would have to say that.
Joke.
No, I don't want to bring him up again.
Oh, bloody spine dick.
Yeah.
No, not evil.
Up until recently, I actually might say Green Goblin, just because. The reason I say up until recently, not because suddenly he's a good guy or anything like that, but just because. Marvel has had to mute him down a little bit because he is all over the place, and instead he's just kind of a smart dick character, and that's pretty much it. But before that, he did some horrible, horrible things to Spider-Man without really caring about it or having anything sympathetic to it whatsoever, I think.
Yeah, you know, he's too crazy to be evil, though. I think someone has to be, like, really on it to be evil.
Well, who would you say that?
Maybe Doctor Doom? Before they kind of
fuck him up. He's still got respect for Reed Richards, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and he helps him out sometimes.
Yeah, Joker.
Deadpool.
I was going to say, yeah, the Joker, especially Dark Knight. You got to see the fact of, like, his total anarchy completely, like, just reigned over the fact that, like, you know, even bad guys play by rules a lot. But Joker is so messed up that, like, you can't.
But I think something evil has to be calculated. You have to be like, I don't mind killing all these people or doing all these bad things because I want my goal.
Maybe,
when it's crazy.
I mean, killing Joker probably more than anything.
Yeah, maybe.
That's pretty evil. Do you have a good
one? I don't know. I think most of the villains that you have out there are really don't think that they're villains. So,
right.
Like, even a guy like Darkseid or you know, they don't think they're
villains. You have to have a villain who's just like... That was eating babies, by the way.
Oh, wow.
It showed in your mime work. I can see you've been working on it.
Yeah.
Abby's baby faces. Sorry about your future baby.
Yeah. Oh.
Stop with the eating baby things.
I gotta practice now.
See you soon.
Cool. Richard and Andy asked the question. Peace could bring you a gift. Let's get the next question.
How important is religion when coming up with a character, and how important should it be?
How important is what?
Religion.
Religion.
When coming up with a character, and how important should it be?
Neil.
Well, I think first of all, it's definitely got to start the story. I mean, it don't just I want to throw somebody in who happens to be Jewish just because I want a Jewish character. I think it's got to start the story, you know, the overall story you're trying to tell. I think that it's important if you have a character who happens to be religious. Like for instance, I use because he's one of my favorite characters, Ragman, like DC Comics Ragman. As you know, this is a character who really, his religion could kind of define him and really help him evolve as a character, and help him make, you know, look at some decisions that are really interesting that, you know, haven't been seen before. I also we'll throw out like Ben Grimm. Ben Grimm is a character who I think his religion, you know, has been mentioned before, but is very, very underused. You know, he was a character who came out a couple years ago as being Jewish, and really there are so many opportunities to kind of explore what that means to him as a person and not as a superhero, or as a superhero as well. And I think as long as it serves the story and it serves to sort of evolve the character, that's something to kind of focus on. Otherwise, you're just putting it out there for the sake of novelty.
See, I feel like how many characters, how many mainstream superhero characters are identified by their religion? Like there are
Nightcrawler,
Kitty Pride,
Sabra.
Yeah, well,
see, I don't think Kitty Pride is defined by being Jewish. I
don't think she's defined, but wait, what am I doing?
You're right. I guess she was. I don't think so much anymore. But for the first couple of years after the character was introduced, she had, you know, Jewish star David around her neck the entire time. So it definitely was.
It was out there, but I don't think it was really kind of explored or really, you know, kind of the driving force.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, but like a character like Sabra, you're like, okay, like I get that. That's why we're using that. When it's on most characters, it's not. It's like they'll mention it once, and then doesn't become an element. It either over dominates like that.
Brother Voodoo.
True.
That's very true. Thank you. He is divided by his religion. Christianity.
Oh, yeah. That's just
his twist ending.
He just puts on a persona of a voodoo, a practitioner of voodoo.
Yes, but it's to show people how good Christianity is by making voodoo look bad. All right.
Cool.
Rachel, if you ask that question, he's going to bring you a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to bring you a gift. And let's get the next
one. Who asked that one?
Spawn?
Spawn asked that.
Yeah.
So you give Spawn his gift, and we'll see you later.
Oh, a Spawn comic.
What does Boothman have under his robe?
I'm afraid only Boothman and Pete can answer that.
I hope you trust.
Well, I'm not answering. These are questions for you guys.
Come on, a Boothman never tells.
Yeah.
I would say shorts and a t-shirt?
You wish. Nice guess. Oh, you're wearing a Bruce Willis t-shirt, if I saw it. No.
I would say, actually, he's like Oogie Boogie from Nightmare Before Christmas.
I'm filled with bugs.
Well, no, when you open up your robe, just comics pour out.
Oh, nice.
And Justin?
Nothing at all is what I know is true. Oh.
All right, Rachel, you have a question. Pete's going to bring you a gift. And that's it for your audience questions.
Yeah.
All right. Now we start with a little section. A little section we like to call the Week in Geek.
Woo! Yeah.
Never gets old, you guys. First thing we're talking about is some big casting news out of Hollywood, which is on the west coast of the United States. Natalie Portman is going to be Jane Foster in the Thor movie, and at the same time was announced that Ryan Reynolds is going to be Hal Jordan, Green Lantern, in the Green Lantern movie. So what do you think about these casting announcements?
What?
You excited? You disappointed?
Okay.
You can't have him be Green Lantern. He's Daredevil.
Deadpool.
Yeah. No, sorry. Ryan Reynolds is going to be Jane Foster. And
that
would work.
Well, that's fine. That actually makes more sense. I would be happier about that.
Well, are you unhappy about these casting announcements?
I mean, that's more of an... I don't really care either way about that.
What?
Huh?
You don't like her?
By the way, I just want to mention that this is actually a comparative size of how big they are.
Well, there's another picture of this series where she's actually holding him like a doll.
And then another one where she's like,
Oh, great. It's in Vogue in the coming weeks. Ryan Reynolds as Hal Jordan, I think, is just ridiculous. I don't think, I don't even know if he can act that hard.
He was good as Deadpool.
Yeah, but Deadpool, like, goofy and all that.
Yeah, but
Hal Jordan.
People said the same thing about Michael Keaton and Batman.
Oh, that was horrible. That never happens. Shut up. So wait, is there more to that? No, wait,
I'm just saying.
I say Michael Keaton was. I wanted to stab myself in the eye for that. That's how bad it was.
Well, I think it's so funny.
As Batman.
I forget which.
Yeah,
which
he's Batman. He's 5'8".
What's Hike got to do with it?
Ryan Reynolds. We're talking about Ryan Reynolds.
Here, I was thinking about this a little bit, and I think Hal Jordan, the character, the way that we know him, absolutely Ryan Reynolds does not work. However, as
the shitty, goofy Hal Jordan.
Perfect. Yeah, no, let me finish. I think we don't know how the movie is going to be like. We do know that there's going to be a certain sense of he starts on Earth, ends up in space, training with Green Lantern Corps and whatnot. And to have somebody for the audience that is a more human person reacting to the ridiculousness of space stuff and aliens everywhere, I think Ryan Reynolds could work as that.
He's more human? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, rather than somebody who's like, all right, space, let's do this, you know, which is how, a little bit, I see the Hal Jordan character.
I'm just glad it wasn't Justin Timberlake. That's all I got. What about Nathan Fillion!
You're right, guys. If we all clap together, Nathan Fillion will become Green Lantern.
Golden showers. There it is. We'll catch him.
And what about Natalie Portman? You guys have a problem with that too?
I like Natalie Portman.
Why?
Because she seems nice.
Real girl next door.
Anyway.
Fine.
Great. Yeah. Exciting stuff from
Name
Hollywood.
Name one character trait of Jane Foster.
She is a nurse.
Yeah. That's not technically a trait.
She's a woman. Lady.
Okay, getting colder.
She has height and width.
Okay. So she's of the earth.
Yes.
Natalie, we have this lady watching for you. She's a nurse.
She is carbon-based.
Not a carbon-based role.
Yeah.
I think you can really pull it off.
Cool. All right, let's move on to talking about another little piece of news again out of the Hollywoods today. Fear Agent, one of our favorite series here on the show, is going to potentially be made into a movie by Universal, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
What are you guys looking forward to or nervous about with this movie, and who would you like to see play Heath Hudson?
How about Nathan Fillion? Yeah.
They're probably going to be Shia LaBeouf.
After I heard this announcement, I was like, okay, please, fan community, let's just cycle through. Yeah, let's get Nathan Fillion. Yeah, let's get Bruce Campbell, and then just move on to who we can actually consider for this.
It's written almost for Bruce Campbell.
Right.
That's kind of the natural one. But I don't know, it's tough. So it's like, I guess it's kind of like drunk Star Trek, sort of. It's just that, so.
Sure. Maybe Clive Owen. He's got a beard sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, most men can grow facial hair. Not me. This is as rough as I get right here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hugh Jackman.
Natalie Portman.
Now that's
nice.
I don't know. I mean, this is kind of a tough movie to do right, I think.
Really?
Don't you think?
Yeah, it's just a space cowboy fight.
Yeah, it's Clint Eastwood.
Obviously, you can't do like the whole span of the series because there's insane, crazy stuff that happens pretty much every single issue.
Nathan Fillion. Perfect.
There you go.
Well, it does kind of have a Serenity vibe.
Yeah.
I think he's also fantastic for Jane Foster. But also, Serenity didn't do well. So I think to do a movie like that is maybe a bad idea.
Yeah. All right. I think it's going to be a good movie. I think Natalie Portman is going to do a great job. All right. Let's move on. And that's it for the Week in Geek.
Yeah!
For a little trivia.
All right. This is the part of the show where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25? Yeah! First guy, come on down. What's your name?
Angel.
Angel, audience? Audience Angel.
Hi.
So how this is going to work, here we'll put the gift card over here. That gift card could be yours. How it's going to work is you listen to the question, listen to all three possible answers. Go three for three, gift card yours, all right? Here we go. Today's trivia is on Boothman.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. What is the source of Boothman's power? Is it A, the Batgirl, B, the coffee cup, or is it C, dipping dots? So it is either A, the bathrobe, or it's B.
Is it the bathrobe?
Oh! What the one! We all know Boothman lives in the booth. But he was born, is it A, on the planet Ork? B, in Boothtopia? Or is it C, New Jersey?
Oh, ooh, wow. Tough one.
So A and B don't exist. I'm here C.
I think C.
Correct!
I was born in Oklahoma, but that's cool.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh!
Dude.
Sorry.
It's supposed to be a secret origin. I just wanted to keep your identity a secret.
Oklahoma, Boothtopia!
Oh! Man, all right, I'm going to give it to him. It's my fault. I can't blame you for that. It's my fault. All right. Boothman's only weakness is...
What?
A, comic books. B, when the hosts get off topic. Or is it C, Lindsay Lohan?
Ooh.
So it's either B...
Oh.
Or it's Lindsay Lohan.
Oh.
B?
Yes!
We should check the record on how many wins we've had on trivia. We're losing money.
I feel like you have some more wins than left.
Man, check the stats.
Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We're going to get a Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. I believe they are flashing in the background. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Razzle number 5.
You dick. That was mine, you son of a bitch.
You were going this way.
No, we never do that.
Yeah, Pete, we never do that.
I was saying Razzle. What, did you have another answer?
You son of a bitch.
You can say the same pun as me.
No.
Also, Blackest Night number 1 is what I'm looking forward to.
Stop talking!
And also,
stop talking!
And also, Punisher Max number serious number serious. Dead gunfight. Stab war number 2.
I'm gonna say Incognito number 5.
I'm boring.
Also, the Bird of Blackest Night. Also, Tales of the Core, Blackest Night, number 1, should be pretty cool. I'm also looking forward to JSA versus Cobra, number 2. I was really surprised. The first issue was great. I was very surprised by that because I thought it would be terrible. Neil, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to, I think, Captain America 601 coming out.
Yeah.
And also on Marvel, Pet Avenger, number 3.
Yeah.
Get the black and white version of Captain America number 601.
Yeah, it's actually it's stunning the difference between the color version and the black and white version. The color version is actually almost unreadable, and the black and white version is great. So if you're going to pick up Cap 601, definitely get the black and white version. A couple of things, which is very surprising. A couple of things before we go. You can check us out almost every day of the week at youtube.com/comicbookclub.
Getting there.
Almost. Very close. Yeah. We're up to how many days a week now?
No, ask me. It's a week thing. No, Thursday is free. Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Also, next week on the show, we are going to have a Hulkalicious show.
Yeah!
With Greg Bach and Fred Van Lente.
Woo!
Now, Pete's promise. This time he's kissing Bach on the mouth.
Oh.
Beard on beard action.
Yeah, they're going to mingle beards.
Mingle beards.
Delicious.
Oh. Yeah, it got creepy.
No?
Because it wasn't creepy before. Yeah.
Actually, what it got is true.
Yeah, it got real, real.
A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Neil from Another Show! Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m., please tell your friends.
Thanks, everybody!
Sorry that my little...